Well, praise God. Good to see y'all in church tonight. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Y'all believe He is tonight? Come on, somebody say He is. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder. Somebody say He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I know y'all didn't come to do anything else but seek Him tonight. Isn't that right? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we didn't come here tonight to have victory light, but God, in Jesus' name tonight, we ask that You would touch and transform our lives. We pray for revelation, knowledge of Your Word to flow freely. Holy Spirit, just do whatever You want to do in this room tonight in our hearts. We just let down our guard tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that You alone are the Lord of our lives. And we just declare Your Lordship in and over our hearts tonight. God, let Your Word just run free tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to remind you one thing. March 30th, somebody say March 30th, is the Connection class, membership class. And we challenge you, if you have not signed up yet and you're not yet a member of this church and you say, this is my home, this is where I want to be, you sign up out there at the info desk tonight. That'd be great. And March 30th is a Sunday right after service. There will be that class. We've got a meal for you, and it's just a lot of fun. Also, again, April 13th and April 20th, that's Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, we'll be having two services. Everybody say two services. We'll have one at 9 and one at 11 on both of those weekends. They will be the same service on each Sunday, not for all four. Okay, so don't pick one for both weekends, but each Sunday on the 13th, 9 and 11, that'll be the same service. Same thing again on the 20th, 9 and 11, that'll be the same service. And so I'm asking you to make a change so that somebody else can receive a change. You've got to run with the vision and be participants. And tonight I'm talking to leaders, amen? Because Wednesday night is core group, and I love that about you, that you're here and you're participating. And I said Sunday, you know, sometimes it's easy if we live in the flesh for our attitude to be, well, I've been here longer than they have. They should make a change. They can go sit in the hallway. But we're not in the flesh, are we? We're kingdom people walking in the Spirit, and we're constantly making room for others to come in and receive what God has for them. And that's what excites me, because every time we bring God an empty vessel, what does He do? He fills it. Every time. Over and over and over and over. And so we've learned that the key to seeing the oil continue to flow is that we keep bringing God empty vessels. And so tonight, it gives me great pleasure and privilege to introduce you to a good friend of mine, and his name is Ken Schoonover, and his wife's name is Amanda, and they pastor Pentecostal Revival Center in Westfield, Pennsylvania. He's also the CEO of WLIH, the new radio station we're on in Whitneyville. They also have a preschool and a retirement home and a food bank that's blowing it up. Y'all may have seen publications, and it seems like I'm missing something else about one of your schools. They're doing it all for Jesus and doing it right, and God's getting the glory, and incredible things are happening. Lives are being saved, and they've come tonight just to share with you some of that about who they are, and we're just thrilled to have them here tonight. Victory, would you let them know how much we love them, how much we appreciate it? Come on.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, come on. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, it is a privilege to be with you tonight. Thank you, Pastor and First Lady, for letting us be here. We went to school together at World Harvest Bible College, now Valor Christian College. And I had heard that he was in this area. We're in the Westfield region, so we're on one side of the mountain. You folks are on the other side over here. And we keep up long distance with everything that's going on here at Victory. And it's exciting to see what's taking place here at this church and in this local area. We've been pastoring in Westfield for about 12 years, and the Lord has continued to bless our ministry there as it goes forward. And one of our recent reconnects in October, we acquired 107.1 FM WLIH. Has anybody ever heard of the station before? We acquired that in October and have been working very hard. We've been making lots of changes there. So if you haven't tuned in, we want to encourage you to tune in, especially at 3 p.m. on Sundays, because you're going to hear someone that sounds very familiar to you, your own pastor. Voice of Victory, Pastor Josh Payne, is airing his program there on Sundays. And so please tune in and check it out. I'm sure you will be blessed. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, can we worship the Lord one more time in here before we get into the Word tonight? Is that all right? If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you're welcome to sit. But we're just going to worship the Lord. How many are glad that you fell in love with Jesus? Are you glad for that? Can you bring that up for me, brother? Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I'd ever done. In his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There is no place I'd rather be. Now come on, can you lift up your hands and sing that chorus with me? Say, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Come on, sing, falling in love. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I'd ever done. In his arms, yes, in his arms, I feel protected. Yes, I do. In his arms, never dis. Come on, sing. In his arms, in his arms, protected. There is no place I'd rather be. Now come on, if some of you are like me tonight, you've had some strenuous things taking place this week. It's midweek. Sometimes we have to amp ourselves up to get to church. We're not as refreshed as we'd like to be. But tonight, I believe that if we just throw ourselves at the mercy of God, if we throw ourselves at His throne and His altar tonight, He's going to open us, pour into us, love on us, minister to us tonight. Come on, how many are ready to receive from Jesus tonight? Can you lift up your hands all over this tabernacle tonight? Open up your mouth and sing Falling in Love with Jesus. Come on, help me like a chorus this night. Oh, I'm falling in love with Jesus. Oh, I'm falling in love. Say, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I'd ever done. Come on, sing in his arms. Tonight we're in his arms. In his arms, I feel broken. Oh, yes, I do. In his arms, never disconnected. No, 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 no. In his arms, I feel protected. There is no place I'd rather be. No, 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 no. There's no place I could search all over and find there's no place I'd rather. I wanna be right here in your presence, Lord. There's no place I'd rather be. Now come on, if you believe it, give him a mighty hand clap of praise in here tonight. You may be seated in Jesus' name. How many have a Bible with you tonight? If you've got a Bible, open it up to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I want to take a minute tonight and just look at something that I like to call Remember Me. Tonight, I believe that the Lord has given me something special to share with you, and I want you to know tonight, I believe God is remembering you. Amen? That God has a plan for you. That God has not forgotten about you. John 8:32 says these words. Now, I'm reading out of the NLT version. It says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, some of you all have heard that scripture, I'm sure, many times. In my church, we have a great big sign that's up on the wall on the stage, and it asks this question, and I'd said it for years and years and years to our congregation. Every single service that I would come in, I'd ask the same question. And finally, we put it up on the wall, and the question was this: whose report do you believe? That was the question that I would ask every single service. And we've trained our folks that when I ask that question, whose report do you believe? They respond back, we shall believe the report of the Lord. And we said it and said it and said it, and it kind of became a cliche, and then we put it up on the wall. And the concept of putting it on the wall was to remind our people that when they came into the tabernacle Sunday mornings, and we do service on Thursday nights, that when they came in, that would be the first thought that would come into their mind, because we are living in a culture today that there are reports that are coming every direction, aren't they? You got Fox News has a report, CNN has a report, MSNBC has a report, the Drudge Report. I mean, everywhere you turn, WETM has a report, WENY has a report. Everywhere you turn today, you are finding reports. And most of us are hearing reports on a daily basis. And so we ask that question to our congregation: whose report do you believe? The concept of when we come into the house of God, we're going to hear a report tonight. And what are we going to believe tonight? And the Bible says, John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. This is what tonight is about. Tonight is about coming into the house of God and hearing the word of God, and the word of God will set you free. Amen. It'll take the evil reports and the bad reports and the negative reports and the doctor's reports and every other report that you have received this week or this month that's maybe caused you to be a little distraught, and it will block those out, because tonight we are going to push those reports aside and we're going to deposit the word of God. Amen? And when we get the word of God on something, it makes us free. Amen? Now, I want to talk tonight about a specific topic that the Lord's had on my heart for the last several weeks that we've been sharing in our local church, found in Luke chapter 5 in verse 12. Because I believe that maybe there's some folks that are in the room tonight that may be struggling physically in your body. And it is my desire before we leave the service tonight in just a few minutes to just pray and ask for the Lord's touch in your body. But I want to talk tonight about the will of God, or the will of Jesus, concerning your physical body. You know, the thing that I have found as I've studied the word, David said it, Isaiah said it, and Peter said it. They said that the same price that Jesus paid on Calvary for our salvation, he also paid a price for our natural healing in the earth. And you know, as excited as I am that someday I'm going to close my eyes on this earth and open them up and be in the pavilions of glory, to be honest with you, I'm hoping to live a long life on this planet. And while I'm here, I'm thankful that he still said, I came to give you a rich and satisfying life. Amen. And I want to have his goodness and his blessing in my life. I want his health and his healing. Can I get a witness in here tonight? I want to see the blessing of God in my life in every aspect while I'm here. I'm thankful for what's going to happen when we get over yonder. I'm thankful that there's no more crying, sighing, dying, and tears, and frustration, and irritation. But I'm not there yet. I'm here, and I'm thankful that I believe the word of God gives us instruction that God's blessing and his favor can captivate us even here in this people planet. There, the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, listen to this. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. Again, I'm reading out of the NLT version tonight. An advanced case of leprosy. I like that wording that's used there, an advanced case of leprosy, because I believe that it's trying to specifically tell us that he wasn't in the beginning stages of leprosy. Now, those of you who know what this disease is or who have read up on it on the internet, you realize that it's an infectious skin disease that literally comes upon someone's body and their skin literally begins to open with sores and it rots and decays off their bodies and it literally changes who they are as a person, what they look like. They become unrecognizable to their friends and their family members around them. And he was in an advanced case of leprosy. So this wasn't just some situation where he woke up and was having a bad day or he was just having a headache. He was in an advanced case of leprosy. What I have found is that it does not matter what you're up against tonight. There's no mountain that's too big for God. There's no hurdle that's too big for God to get over. Amen? There's nothing that the enemy has thrown in your pathway tonight that is going to restrict God in your life, because your Bible still says that all things are possible to them that believe. Amen? And if we'll believe tonight, and if we'll reach a hand out in the earth to heaven, and God touches that hand, gives us a kiss from heaven, there's no telling what can happen in this room tonight before we leave. Amen? This can be a night of destiny for you. The Bible says that he was in an advanced case of leprosy. I want you to know tonight, it is not over until God says it's over. Amen? It does not matter how bad your report is. It's not over till God says it's over. It doesn't matter how evil the report has been in your life. It's not over till God says it's over. It doesn't matter what the doctor has said or if he's even put a time frame on your life. It is not over until God says it's over. On January 28, 2006, my wife was pregnant for our third child. And I have three daughters. They're all here in kids ministry tonight. My oldest is 12, my middle is 10, and my youngest is 7. And my wife was pregnant on January 28, 2006 for my youngest daughter, and she was about halfway through the pregnancy when all of a sudden she started feeling some issues in her body that were not normal. And so she contacted me, and we went to the emergency room in Wellsboro, and they went and began to do an ultrasound, and they began to check things out. And the doctor came out of the room with these pictures, and the pictures showed the ultrasound, and it showed my youngest daughter inside of my wife's womb. And the doctor sat us down, and he said, "Does any of this make any sense to you?" And I said, "No, I don't understand any of it." And he began to lay things out and show things to us, and he said, "There is a tear here in the lining of your wife's womb. And what is happening is that blood is beginning to go into the womb. It's beginning to mix with the other fluids that are there, and it's going to be very detrimental for this child that is in the womb." And I said, "Well, what exactly do you mean by detrimental?" He said, "Let me be very bold and blunt with you. The child that is in this womb will not survive this situation." And picture after picture that we looked at, we would see our child, which our daughter, upside down in this fluid, which would eventually take her life and would kill her. And that night, he said, "We want you to go home. We want you to rest, and you just have to let nature take its course. You just have to allow nature to do what it's going to do. But we want you to come back. We want you to come back in 2 days because we want to just do another ultrasound and make sure that everything is flushing out correctly." And, you know, it was a very devastating moment for my wife and I because, you know, we'd been pastoring for 6 or 7 years and leading people to Jesus, loving people, you know, ministering at the church, doing everything we knew to do that was right. And sometimes it feels like you get the raw end of the deal, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like, you know, somebody pulled your number out of a hat and now all of a sudden tag you're it. And, you know, I came across a scripture where the disciples were asking Jesus a question about a blind man. They said, "Jesus, why was this man born blind? Was he born blind because his parents sinned or because he sinned?" And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "This man wasn't born blind because his parents sinned or because he sinned. He was born blind that the works of God might be made manifest." Listen, this is what I saw in that scripture that night. That God trusted him to be born blind because God knew that even in the midst of the circumstance or the mountain or the struggle, that he wouldn't give up and he wouldn't quit and he wouldn't allow the enemy to have his way, but he'd be to church on Wednesday night and he'd lift up his hands to heaven and he'd praise his way through and he'd stand on the word and he'd believe God. And when he didn't know what else to do, we have a saying in our church, we're going to do what's right and we're going to stand on God's word and we're going to believe the report of the Lord. And so we went home that night and we sat there. My wife went to bed and I sat out in my chair doing my thing, and it was a quiet couple of days, just a time of reflection, a time of thought, a time of prayer, a time of, man, I didn't expect this one. And that next couple of days, we went back to the doctor on the 30th of January 2006, and they immediately took her up to the ultrasound room and began to do what they do with them and run the stuff all over their stomach to check things out. And the nurse who was doing this, she said, Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's a good or a bad She says, We got any nurses in the room tonight? I don't know, but what does mean? She says, And so I just stood there, you know, because, of course, being a pastor, I'm a man, I lack words sometimes. Yeah, right. And I stood there watching her, And she moved this thing around a little bit more, and she said, And it wasn't long, and we got another, I said, now hold on just a second. I've got a I've got a and I've got a my. What does that mean? She said, I'm not the doctor. I ain't allowed to tell you anything. And I reached out and grabbed her arm. I said, look, honey, you ain't leaving till you tell me something. I want to know something. And she said, I know what I was supposed to come in here to find. I know what I was supposed to come in here to look for. But what I'm supposed to find, what I'm supposed to look for, and what I'm seeing are two completely different things. It wasn't long, the doctor was in the room, and he sat down with me, and he said, Mr. Schoonover, he said, the problem is that your wife's body should be, you know, discarding this child, and instead what we're finding is that there's still a heartbeat on the inside of her womb. And he said, we are finding that there is no blood inside of her womb. We are finding that not only is there no blood inside of her womb, he said, there's a 10% chance that your wife could have healed up, the blood could have disappeared, and the baby could be normal. So he said, I won't call that a miracle. I will not call that a miracle. But he said, even if it did heal, even if the blood disappeared, dissipated, even if the baby was okay, there would still be a scar on the inside of her body where this tear was after it healed. And what I am going to tell you is a miracle, is not only is there no blood, not only is it healed, not only is your baby girl okay, but there is no scar that it even existed. And he said, had it not been that I have the report you were here 2 days ago, I'd call you a liar because this just can't happen in the natural. And I said, that's where we're different, because we are not depending solely on the natural. We've got our hand in the hand of an unchangeable God. Can I get an amen in here tonight? I want you to know that God is remembering you tonight. And whatever you are facing in your life, whatever physical condition the enemy has tried to throw at you, God is remembering you. He hasn't lost a battle, and he's not going to start by losing yours tonight. Amen? So the Bible says this man has an advanced case of leprosy. We're in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. I don't know if Pastor Josh is like this, but I can preach for 3 hours off of two words. Amen. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Listen to this. Healing can only be experienced when the will of God is known. Healing can only be experienced when the will of God is known. Healing can only be experienced when the will of God is known. Listen to what this man said, because I think sometimes we read this parable and we think that we're just getting another parable or another story about Jesus helping somebody. But instead, what we are getting here is we are getting the revelation of God's viewpoint on healing in your body tonight. And this is what he says.
the leper man, who's in his final stages, he says to Jesus, I know that you can. I know that you're able. But are you willing? I know that you can. I know that you're able. But the question is, are you willing? See, I don't believe there's a lack of people in the tabernacle tonight that know that God can. We know God can do anything, don't we? We know he can do anything. We know that God is able. Most of us in this tabernacle tonight know somebody who God has supernaturally turned something around in their life or their body. We know that God can. We know that God is able. But where some of us are in this room tonight is the question, that lingering question, are you willing? Because see, once we find out if he is willing or not, that's when we can begin to step across and begin to possess what he said. And so we have to recognize that healing can only be experienced when the will of God is known. When the will of God is known. I meet many people that say, well, if God wants to heal me, he can. Well, if God wants to touch my body, he can. You know, we don't go to work and say it Friday, well, if they want to pay me, they can. Do we? We don't say to our kids, well, if they want to clean the room, they can. If they want to go to school, they can. If they want to eat healthy food or junk food, they can. It's up to them. We don't do that because we seek out what is the best purpose, plan, and intent, don't we? And that is what this man was doing. He said, I know that he can. I know that he's able, but the question is he willing? Verse 13 says this, Jesus reached out and touched him, and he said this, I am willing. This is not just any normal or ordinary parable. This is a foundational parable that needs to be reestablished in the church. I said a moment ago, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yet he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Everything up until that point has to do with you and I accepting Christ as our Savior and making it to heaven. But there's one last line. There's one last line in that scripture. It says, and with his stripes, 39 of them that he took on his back, he was whipped with a cat of nine tails, laced with bone, lead, and rock. His skin hung like ribbons from his side. 39 lashes he took for no other reason, Isaiah said, than to provide healing for you. Right here, right now. David said that exact same thing. David said he is the God that saves our soul and he heals all of our diseases. Peter said, and with his stripes you were healed. Peter said were as in past tense because he had seen the man in action. He had seen what he could do. He had seen the provision. He had seen what he had taken care of. This is what I want you to understand tonight. If you're saved in this room tonight, and I believe that many of you are in here tonight, I want you to understand that the same price he paid for your salvation, he paid the same price for your healing tonight. Amen. I said amen. Amen. I was sitting, when I was working on this message, my 7-year-old daughter, she come up to me and she said, Dad, what are you doing? She said, I want to go outside and we're working on building a rabbit coop. And she said, I want to go outside and build a rabbit coop. And I said, baby, I'm working on this here. I've just got one more illustration point I've got to make in this message. And she said, well, Dad, what's your message about? And I said, divine healing. Now, she's 7 years old. So I began to talk to her about it. I began to explain to her, you know, the fundamental doctrines of the Word of God concerning health and wholeness. And she got all done and she said, Dad, I don't know anything you're talking about. I said, baby, see, my girls, they love to watch movies out of Redbox. They love Coca-Cola and they love salt and vinegar chips. They are their daddy's daughters. And I said, baby, let me break it down to you. It would be like Dad going down to the dollar store, getting you a Redbox movie, getting a $20 bill out of my pocket, buying you a bag of salt and vinegar chips and a 6-pack of Coke. But when you walk away from the counter, all you do is take the Coke and not the salt and vinegar chips. The same $20 bill paid the price for it all. And she looked at me 7 years of age and she said, Dad, I wouldn't do that because they're both good. And sitting in my chair in my family room, I said, you got it. Why do we take one and not the other? They're both good. They're both good. Getting saved is awesome. Getting healed to live in his blessing in the earth is awesome. Amen. Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, I am willing. Be healed, he said. I looked up that word be to see what it meant. And it meant this. Live. Jesus said, live healed. So this man walks up to Jesus in the last stage of leprosy and he says, he doesn't just give us a story. He's given us a fundamental, foundational truth that the church should grab onto. And he says to him, I know you can, I know you're able, but the question is, are you willing? And Jesus said, not only am I willing, I want you to live healed. I will above all things, your Bible says, that you prosper and live in health, even as your soul prospers. That man had to then make a claim on the word that he had received from Jesus. When I was a senior in high school, the year was 1999, living in Westfield, Pennsylvania. Anybody ever been to Westfield? I'm just curious. Wow. I didn't know that many people came to Westfield. All right. You've been to Ackley's, haven't you? Yes, absolutely. And I've lived in Westfield my whole entire life. And we have to be very careful there who it is that we marry. Because we're related to most people. And so my wife is from Lancaster County, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Any Hershey folk in here? She's from Hershey, Pennsylvania, where the smell of chocolate is in your living room one evening and the smell of cow manure is in your living room the next evening. And she came up on a hunting trip and she showed up in the little old church that I attended as a teenage boy that we pastor today. And she walked in, and I said, this girl is good looking. She's 200 miles from here. It's apparent we're not related. I think I'll marry her. And so we began to court and date. And it wasn't long, and I enrolled in World Harvest Bible College. I was in Columbus, Ohio. She was in the Hershey area in Pennsylvania. And I'd ride back and forth and see her on the weekends. And I called her dad one night, and I said, I'd like to ask your daughter's hand in marriage. And he said, I would be proud to have you as my son-in-law. And he gave me his blessing on it. And I jumped in a vehicle and I drove from Columbus, Ohio, all the way to Hershey, Pennsylvania. Picked her up to take her out on a date. And out of all places, I took her to a park. I thought, we'll make this real romantic when I, you know, ask her for her hand in marriage, you know. And so I took her to a park. Later found out the name of the park was Psycho Park. Psycho Park. That's not a joke. It's really true. And so we went to Psycho Park and got down there by the water, and I was going to do what you're supposed to do as a guy and get down on the knee, you know, how you're supposed to do that. And so I took her hand and I got down on my knee and I asked her a question. I said, will you marry me? How many guys have ever asked that question before? I'm not going to ask how many got turned down, but how many's asked the question? Amen. I said, will you marry me? And it's at that moment we're hoping that they say yes, right, gentlemen? And so I said, will you marry me? Now, at that moment, I knew she could. I knew she was able. The question was, is she willing? That's the question. And so I was on one knee asking her, are you willing? She said, what's in the box? No, I'm just kidding. Without hesitation, she said yes. I was 18 years old, you were 17 years old. That's 15 years ago. And when she said yes, I knew she was able. I knew that she could. The question was she willing? When she said yes, I made a claim on that word. And what I did is I reached into my pocket, pulled out a diamond ring that she still wears today, and I placed that on her finger. I was still not married to her. We did not live together. We did not have a checkbook together. I got in my truck that week and drove back to Columbus, Ohio, went back to school, and it was another 9 months before we were married. Even though the manifestation of unity between us, her taking my last name, did not come for 9 more months, when I asked her if she would marry me, I knew she was able. I knew she could. But the question was she willing? When she said yes, I made a claim on that by faith. And I took something that cost me something. And I put it on her finger. And I began to move in faith that she would be one day mine. See, this is what we have to do with the Word of God. When the Word of God comes into our life, and when we ask God for a question and He gives us a word, we have to, by faith, reach out and grab that word and make that word our own. Amen? We've got to stand on that word. We've got to confess that word. We've got to believe that word. And that's what happened right here with this leper. He said, I know you can. I know you're able. But are you willing? And a word changed his life forever. A word changed his life forever. Jesus said, I am willing, be healed. And when he heard that word, something inside of him, we call it in our church, his baby jumped. Something jumped inside of him and he grabbed onto that word. He said, that's mine. And the Bible says, instantly the leprosy disappeared. Listen to this. When his word is heard, my healing gets manifested. When his word is heard, my healing gets manifested. I want you to understand tonight that God has not changed his mind concerning health and wholeness. For Paul said in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Healing is still in the plan of God for our life. Amen. He is not just a God who built us. He is a God who can fix us. Let me tell you something. Jesus was not just concerned with healing this man. He was concerned with restoring this man back to his original condition. Because the Bible continued to read in Luke chapter 5, verse 14, then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. You know, I read that for years and never had any idea what that meant till I began to read the Bible. Now, when we were at Bible college, there's a statement, Pastor Parsley used to say, you can't just read your Bible, you have to read your Bible. And I use that one all the time. You can't just read your Bible, you have to read your Bible. And if you go back into Leviticus, and you don't have to turn there, but Leviticus 13 and 14, you'll find that in the Old Testament, underneath the old law, there was an expectation or requirement that was placed upon people who had skin diseases. And if they got skin diseases, they were in fear that they would be contagious and that they would get caught in by other people. And so they had to be examined then by the priest. And if the skin disease didn't go away after a certain period of time, they would almost like excommunicate these people. They would be exiled. They would be pushed aside. They would be unclean. They couldn't live in the house with their folks. They couldn't live with their parents, their kids, their wife. They couldn't fellowship with people like normal. They were unclean. They had to stay away from people. But also there was a provision made in the book of Leviticus in chapter 14 that if someone was to be healed or it was to clear up, then they were to go stand in front of the priest. And when the priest examined them, if he said they were clean, then they were restored back to their original condition. Now I say all that tonight to say this. Jesus, in this case and in your case, is not just interested in healing you. See, a lot of folks think, well, God, if you'll just remove some of the pain. Lord, if you'll just make some a little bit better. Lord, if you'll just get me to a position or place that I can deal with it or I can tolerate it, then it'll be okay. Jesus was not just interested in healing this boy. He said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest. I want you to take the proper offering required because I don't want you just healed. Just because you're running around saying, look, my skin's clean and I'm healed, it doesn't make any difference. When you stand in the presence of the priest, he said, it is then that the priest will give you a clean bill of health like a doctor does today. And then you will be restored back to your original place of business, back to your family, back to your children, back to your church, back to your setting. I want this church to understand tonight that no matter what circumstance, what the doctor's report has been into your life, God is not just interested in healing your body tonight. He is interested in restoring everything that sickness has stolen from your life, stolen from your family, stolen from your children. If the thief be found, the Bible says he has to repay. Amen. And tonight we make claim on the word of God. We stand in boldness and we make claim for your life and your body that we know who the devourer is. We know who the thief is. He is the devil, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus come to give us life. Amen. And tonight we make claim on that life. Jesus says to this man, this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. It'll be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. If there's musicians who want to join me, you're welcome to do that now. I'm closing now. We had a lady in our church who's 28 years old now. And when she was 26 years old, she had 5 children. I had the privilege of marrying her and her husband, leading them to the Lord. They were individuals who'd never been raised in church and lived a crazy life and ended up stumbling into our church, and we led them to the Lord, and they were saved and baptized, and they got married, and they have 5 children. And at 26 years of age, she began to have some handicaps and some trouble. Her eyesight was beginning to go, and she was getting massive pains and migraines in her head, and she would walk to the side and stumble. And after a period of time, her husband decided they better take her to the doctor and get things checked out. And 2 years ago, she got a doctor's report back that said that she had 2 cysts in her head, and they were filling up with fluid. And as they would get bigger, they would begin to push on different elements in her brain and in her head, and it would cause all of these problems. And so they went in and they did a surgery on her, and they began to remove the fluid out of one, hoping that that would take care of it, and it wasn't long, the thing began to fill up again. And during this process, she was a new Christian. She didn't know a lot about the Word of God, didn't know a lot about faith in God. But what she knew is what was at God's house was real. And we have a saying in our church, when you don't know what to do, you do what's right. Because sometimes we all face things we don't know what to do, do we? We think, man, I don't know, I'm feeling crazy. But we do what's right. And so we encouraged, you keep doing what's right. You keep believing God. You keep coming to church. He is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek Him. You keep pushing. You keep pursuing. You keep walking this thing out. It wasn't long and she started having these problems again, and she went back in for a second surgery. And they tried to drain these things again, but to no avail, nothing worked. And so it wasn't long again, and she was back to the same old process. And they said, what we're going to have to do is put a shunt, S-H-U-N-T, in. And she went in, and they put a line in her head. They connected it to these cysts, ran it down the side of her neck on the inside of her skin. You could see it when she turned her head. And this would drip into her stomach. And this was supposed to be the process that would cause the fluid to drain out of these things. The doctor told her, we can't really do anything more for you because this thing has grown so large that it has entangled itself around your brain. It's pushing your brain off to its side. You will find yourself moving into deeper migraines. You will lose your vision over this. You will have seizures over this. I mean, it was getting to the place and to the position that she was just not getting anything promising. And so she had this shunt put in, and she had it done on a Friday. And I was shocked when I got in the pulpit on Saturday, because there she sat in a wheelchair, 28 years old, in a wheelchair. She had a hoodie up over her head because she'd been cut and gashed so many different times. Hair was missing. It was a bloody mess. But she said, I'm not going to be out of church. When I don't know what else to do, I'm going to do what's right. God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek, and I'm going to keep on pushing. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on doing. And about 2 weeks ago, I was in Florida. And I pulled up Facebook, and when I did, she had put a post on there. And this is what it said. God, can't I get a break? And I thought to myself, oh my, what's going on now? Well, I began to communicate with her and found out that she began to have problems with his shunt. Things weren't draining properly. Things weren't discharging properly. And so she scheduled with a specialist to go down and meet while we were in Florida. And she got down there, and they went in and they looked and they said, look, this is what's happening. I guarantee you, we see it all the time. This tube that's supposed to be draining, it's plugged, it's not working properly. That's why you're having this problem with it. We're going to have to put you in immediately for an MRI and check this thing out. So she said, wonderful. So it was at that time she pulled up Facebook and she said, God, can I get a break? She was feeling frustrated. You ever feel frustrated about your circumstances? So she waited for a couple of hours for the doctor to get her in the MRI machine and check her all out. She got in the MRI machine, they checked her out, and the doctor said, And she called me screaming on the phone. She showed up at church that Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, and the doctor said, There's nothing wrong with a shunt that's on the inside of you. The reason that it's not working properly is because it's not connected to anything anymore, because there are no cysts on the inside of your head. Your brain is normal. Everything has shifted back to normal. Everything is shifted back to normal. Your eyesight's coming back. And he said, you're not going to need this shunt anymore. We're going to have to schedule this up to take it out. I want to tell this church tonight, you serve a God tonight that has not forgotten you. He remembers you, and he wants to put you back together again. Will you stand on your feet and hear with me tonight? You know, the first man ever to receive salvation after the cross, Jesus was on the cross. We're getting ready to go into Easter. You're going to hear a lot of messages on this. Jesus is on the cross. Remember, there's a thief on one side, a thief on the other. And one thief mocks. If you're the Son of God, take yourself off here. But the other thief believes. And he says two words that I think are incredible. It's found in Luke 23:42. He looks at Jesus and he says these two words. Are you ready? He says, remember me. You remember that story? Remember me. You know, we use those words all the time, don't we? Remember me. See, I'm going to pray tonight. Most of you I've never seen before in my life. I'm going to pray tonight that hopefully something that was done and said here will cause you to remember me. Hopefully. Maybe not, but hopefully. Remember me. Because when we think in our culture today about remembering something, we think about thinking about it. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? Don't forget this. Don't forget that. Remember. But you know, I got to looking at that word a couple of years ago. He said, remember me. And I got to thinking, you know, that word remember is the opposite of the word dismember. And when something is dismembered, it's what? It's taken apart, right? It's pulled apart, limb from limb. And you know what that thief dying on that cross said? He said, I deserve to be here for my sins, but Jesus does not. And he said, will you remember me? And if something is remembered, it's not just thought about at a later point in time. To remember something is to put it back together again. And you know what the first word is that Jesus said to him when he said, remember me? Jesus said, today. 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 You will be with me in paradise. Today. And that is what I've come to tell someone tonight. That Jesus has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten that clean bill of health that he has promised in his word. He is not just a God who says a thing. He brings every word he says to pass in the name of Jesus. And tonight he remembers you. Tonight he puts you back together again. All across this tabernacle, I'm going to ask for every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. If you're here tonight and you say, I need a touch of God on my body, I need his touch physically, I need his supernatural power in my life, in my body. The doctors have done everything they can. I'm tired of living this way. I believe the word of God. This message is for me tonight. I recognize and realize that I am like the leper. I know he can. I know he's able. But I want to know tonight, is he willing? Maybe you have asked God that question this week. Are you willing? And God brought you here tonight to hear him say through my lips, yes, 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 I am willing tonight to touch and heal your body. If you're here tonight and you can say, you know what, I need God's touch on my life, I'm going to ask you to slip a hand up to heaven right now. And dozens of hands all over this building. Lift that hand just as high as you can get it, because we're going to pray a prayer of faith right now. This is your word. The same way that I reached out by faith, put a diamond ring on my wife's finger and made a claim for something that hadn't even manifested yet, I want you by faith tonight to reach out and make claim on God's word. Make claim on what his spirit is saying in this house tonight and say, this word is mine. If God did it then, he can do it again. If God did it for the woman in my church, he can do it for you. If God did it for my baby girl, he can do it for your baby girl. He is no respecter of persons tonight, and I believe that God is going to do something in you tonight. Father, you see every hand that is lifted across this great church tonight. Father, you know the needs. You know the doctor's report. You need know the evil words that's been said. But Father, tonight we thank you that your word cancels out the words of the physician, for you are the great physician. And Lord, we thank you for the doctors. We thank you for what it is they can do for us. But God, today, we render this situation into your hands. You are our King. You are our physician. Jesus, you paid the price not only for our salvation, but for our healing. It's a package deal tonight. And if we get one, we're getting both in the name of Jesus. We're taking advantage of the price you paid, Lord. We receive it in our body tonight. Satan, we serve notice on you tonight. You vacate the premises of every man and woman of God in this building tonight. And Lord, we thank you that your healing power flows in their bodies. Lord, we thank you for testimonies that are to come about the healing power of the risen Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone shouted, amen. God bless you. Thank you tonight for being a part.
Well, did you receive anything tonight? Come on, give God glory tonight. Would you let Pastor Ken and Amanda know how much you love them tonight? That was a divine setup right there. Never the same in Jesus' name. Man, what an awesome couple. Boy, they're tearing it up for the kingdom and for Jesus' name in Westfield. I believe God's got incredible things for them. Y'all believe that tonight? Y'all come over here and join me this evening. I want you to reach your hands this way, and we're just going to pray over them tonight. Father God, in Jesus' name, we praise you for Ken and Amanda and their babies. And God, we just apply the precious blood of Jesus over them. Father, every attack of Satan that has come against them, every seemingly blockage that has been erected in their path that's keeping them from the dream, God, the burn on the inside of them, we speak to those walls, we speak to those mountains tonight. We command them to be removed, every obstacle to be gone. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus for a release, an increase of the anointing upon their lives that makes them effective in everything they do for your glory. God, we release just freshness, God. Revive their lives. Strengthen their hearts, their souls, their families, God. God, strengthen their hand in everything they set it to do. God, we praise you for people, provision, protection, and power to accomplish your purpose in their lives. We give you glory. We give you praise tonight. Thank you for what you've done in this house. Thank you that your word is true. You're still a healer. And God, we declare no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And as we go tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, send us to those in need, them to us. And Lord, fill our mouths with the words to speak to be an encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said.